Well, it's been 2 weeks. I've been out of the country. If you haven't noticed, hopefully you missed me. But if you don't know, myself and 12 others, we were on a mission trip to Thailand with Zoe International, an organization that is Christian-based and it fights human trafficking. So we were there on that part. So what I have to tell you in arriving is Sawadee Krup. Okay? Now, that means hello in Thai. Now, let's get you up to speed here. I'm going to have you repeat after me. Okay, so if you're female, you're going to say Sawadee Krup. And if you're male, you're going to say Sawadee Krup. Okay? So are you ready? And then I want you to do the hand position as well, okay? You do it 1,000 times a day. So this is what you do every time you see somebody. All right? So Sawadee Krup. Very good. Give yourselves a hand. You're learning Thai. That's awesome. I didn't know I would come back fluent. It's amazing. And I also got this nice shirt, you see, a Thai shirt. And I wanted to let you know, this is a shirt about Thailand. This is not stating a political party of my preference, okay? Just because there's elephants on it. All right, I already got that joke last service, okay? But it was an amazing time as we went over there. And I wanted to thank you all for your financial contributions that got us there and the prayers that sustained us while we were there. And talking about prayer, it was such a pivotal point for us. It was really the foundational building block of our trip. Whether we were praying for one another in the many van rides that we had, or to the devotion of the Bible students and the missionaries, or to the prayers that were felt by you, prayer encompassed our mission. So it would deem acceptable then that we have today's lesson focused on prayer. It makes sense. And we want it to be more than just a slideshow of what we went through, but also some spiritual applications and some points that you can take home for yourselves. So you ready? Okay, that was weak. Are you ready?
Yes.
Good, good. Okay, well, I'm just going to summarize first all with a story, and it's not my story, but it's based in Scripture, in Acts 12. You don't have to turn there, but you can if you'd like. Acts 12. And it begins this way, with the background that the apostles, filled with the Holy Spirit, have been going out and preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. As a result, there has been some persecutions. They have been rounded up once, and they were let go with some minor consequences. But at this point, Herod has taken Peter and put him into prison. And verse 4 says this, "So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him." Remember that. And what happens next is miraculous in itself. The church is praying, and Peter's in prison. He has four guards of four squads that are watching him. There's no way he's going to get out. But there was prayer. And God miraculously sends an angel. The chains fall off. The doors open. The gate opens out to the street. The next thing you know, Peter thought this was a vision, but it actually took place. He has been set free. He goes to the house where the apostles are, celebrates. Wow, I can't believe God saved us. What a miraculous thing we have seen, and we can give that credit to the power of prayer. Amen? But there's a story right before that. Three verses, more like two and a half, that happened. Herod took hold of another one of the apostles right before Peter. And it was James, John's brother, who was part of that intimate fellowship with Jesus, James, John, and Peter. And it says that he killed James, put him to death by the sword. But what's noted is, what's interesting, there's no mention. There's no mention of the church praying earnestly for James. Now, it could be that that happened, but we don't know. But I think Luke, who's the author here, wants to make a point saying what happened with James made a wake-up call for the church, for Peter, to pray earnestly. And we saw something happen different with Peter than with James. Because James was an important character here. And so we look at how prayer makes a difference. And whether we're looking at how prayer makes a difference with Peter's escape or what's supposedly the lack of prayer with James's death, just by looking at it, prayer is crucial. We don't know. But we do know that prayer is crucial. More specifically, praying for others makes a difference. Praying for others is key. And this is a wake-up call for us to realize how important prayer is. And we can't just be bystanders. We have to be participants. Because with prayer, you realize God allows us to shape history. It's true. We can't do anything of the past, but what we can do is we can pray about the present of what's going on so that the future is changed. In other words, we have the ability to change the status quo. If we don't like something the way it is, we can pray that God will change it. If there's something troubling you, if you're feeling that you are being persecuted, if you are feeling that you just can't handle it, if there's not enough that you need strength, you can ask God to change your situation so that it will be done. We decide what the world should look like by how we pray. Wow, that's responsibility, isn't it? And prayer is our lifeline to the Heavenly Father, the God of the universe, the King of Kings. And of course, we have the scriptures which reveal the triune God and who He is. But we pray to have that relationship with God. And a point we have to remember before we go more into Thailand, just to kind of solidify this before with prayer, is that God is all about partnership. He wants us to join Him in His work that He has for us. And prayer gives us access to the work that He wants us to do. Because God in Himself could have done anything, right? In His omniscience, in His presence, He could have snapped a finger and whatever He wanted could have been done. Or I always think, well, He could have sent angels to go spread the gospel. It would have been more effective than us. But that's not the way God wanted to do it. He wanted to join us because He has good work for us. He has a plan and a purpose for every single one of us. No one is excluded. And this work is good. And I know right now I just said the word work and maybe some of you shuddered. You're like, oh, it's Sunday. Why are you mentioning that word? I have to go back to work tomorrow. But in Genesis 2:15, God gave man work and it was to tend the garden, and it was before the fall. So work is good, just to let you know. So don't worry about that. So don't have the Monday blues, and when you're going back to work, just pray that God will show you how you can be used by Him in your work. But God wants us to join Him in His kingdom work, saving the lost, speaking words of affirmation to believers, standing up for biblical truth, being a light in the darkness. It's partnership. He could have done it alone, but He doesn't want to. He wants to join you with Him. And God is all about relationship. We know that. We've heard that. He desires intimacy with us. Prayer is about getting to know the Father's heart and what He has for us and for the world. Why else would God walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day? That's not work-oriented. That's not task-oriented. That's relationship. That's, hey, how was your day? What's been going on? What's on your mind? That's our God, a relational God. And there are so many verses that talk about how relational God is. I just want to point a few out. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." That's an amazing passage that we get to go to the King of Kings and be allowed in His courtroom, His chambers, as the king, because we are sons and daughters that we are allowed in His presence. Usually a king has to summon those he wants to see in front of him. Well, we are blood because of the blood shed by Jesus Christ that we are allowed to be sons and daughters. And we don't have to just come to Him with achievements. We can come to Him and ask Him for help. Because as you know, if you have a child constantly asking for something, you're like, oh my, you know, go away. Not with God. He wants us to come into His presence all the time to ask for help and to receive it. Amen? Or Matthew 6:6, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." It's not about praying in public or how you pray or what that looks like. God wants you to himself, alone, praying to him. That's what matters. And he'll reward you based on that. And it doesn't say what the reward will be, which is good because it can be more. But you get that relationship with him. You see that. So I have a question. How many of you want a powerful life? Raise your hand. Okay. We'll pray for the other half. Since we're talking about prayer, then I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, a prayerful life is a powerful life. And if they didn't raise their hand, let them know that you'll pray for them. Okay? We all should raise our hand. We all want a powerful life. We all want to be used by God. And God wants that relationship with us. Therefore, we have to get rid of some misconceptions that come into our mind naturally with prayer. There's a ton of them. So if I mention these, I'm going to have to go a little quick because I also want time for sharing. So if these phrases in any way, shape, or form come into your mind, I want you to visualize you crumbling them up and throwing them away. You can light them on fire. They're gone. It's gone forever. You never want to have these misconceptions again. Is that fair? Okay, it's fair. Good. I'll take silent agreement any day. One, I don't know how to pray. Well, the disciples also said that too in Matthew 6. So that is fair in itself. And Jesus gave them a formula, the Lord's Prayer, of how to pray. Not just to pray that, but a model. It's thankfulness. And then it has a request. And there's a various forms. But it's simple in itself. Because we can come to Jesus as we are, but he doesn't want us to stay there. He wants us to mature. That we learn how, and we start by praying. So we can't keep using that and say, well, I don't know how to pray. No, you did when you first accepted him, and now you continue to pray and you practice. You pray and you keep going because he wants that relationship for you. Or, I'm not good enough to pray. Or I've committed too many sins, or God doesn't want to hear me, or you've heard that one. Well, you're right. You're not good enough. Nobody is. Only Jesus Christ. And it's because of what he did and his righteousness that was imputed, given to us, that we have the ability to come before him, as it says, in the throne room, and ask our request, to pray to him, to give him praise, to want to know more about who he is. So we can't say that we're not good enough because we are not by ourselves, but it's not about earning it. It's about grace that we have the ability to come to him. So that one, it's also gone. Or God doesn't hear my prayers. Well, there's a verse on that one too. 1 John 5:14 says that he hears it, but 15 says that whatever we ask, he not only hears us, but that he will answer us whatever we ask of him. Wow. So he hears us and answers us. And, or I'm too busy to pray. That's a big one. I've had to deal with that. And then Bill Hybels, who is a pastor of a church, well-known, wrote lots of books, wrote a book, Too Busy Not to Pray. Huh, interesting. And what he says is he realized, even as a pastor, that he wasn't praying as much. And he needed to step that up because he wanted to have God's blessing and God's favor in all the areas of his life. That included his church, his marriage, his children, even his hobbies. Because through his hobbies, he's led people to Christ, because that's a mutual thing together with other guys. And he wanted that. So we have to be careful of saying, all right, God, I got this. I only pray when I have an emergency or when I need something. You know, I got this. I've been doing this job for X number of years. No, we need to say, God, give me the wisdom to be able to facilitate this meeting or to make this sale, because I want it to be for you, not for me, not based on my strength, but yours. God, give me the ability to raise my kids. Even though I'm doing them by biblical standards, I want to make sure that I'm doing it in your favor and your blessing. And if there's anything I'm missing, show me. Or God, allow me to, even though I've been married for a while, that you will continue to bless that marriage, because we want it to be you in the center of our lives. Amen? So we cannot be too busy to pray. Too busy not to pray. So we all throw some of those out, because it's not about being great in prayer. It's just about being real. That's it. It's just your heart. Don't let your mind say you have to be a certain way or say a certain thing. It's just about the heart. Because do you want peace in your household? Do you have a burden that you feel that cannot be lifted? Do you want direction in which way to go in life? Do you need wisdom in a problem you're facing? Or do you want to see healing take place for a loved one? Pray. And prayer is what we saw a lot going on in our time spent with Zoe. And our team spent time preparing for our ministries, doing English lessons, outreaches, the children's home. But also we were praying as preparation spiritually and during the trip. And as a testimonial for my part, a couple weeks before I was asking God what my role is, what he would want me to do. And the word healing came to mind. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I like this word, God. Okay. And what's interesting is about a month before at family camp, there was a lot of that physical healing taking place by some of the high school students that shared, which was great. So I'm thinking along those lines of healing in that way, right? But I'm still being open to the Lord and saying, okay, God, whatever opportunity you have for me. And then opportunity opened up. I was able to share a word of encouragement that I felt was from the Lord to the villagers in the outreach that we were doing. We could put up the first picture there. This is us getting ready to go to the village right there. So this is our team with the Zoe Bible students. And so what happens is we go there, we put on a, they have skits and a couple skits, some songs, and they do a whole program. And I was, myself and Tommy, another member, we were able to share briefly about what we felt from the Lord. And so this is us getting ready to go because it was going to be that night. And the whole village was invited, kids and adults. And so we're ready and we're excited because we've been doing that. And so Tommy says his part. I go and share my part. I talk about how God is a God of healing physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And it's translated into twice because Thai and the village language. But so it's short and simple. And then one of the Bible students does an altar call at the end. And, you know, people are interceding. They're praying like, come on, Jesus, right? And then everybody leaves. Everybody's gone. I mean, it was kind of cold, unusual for there because it was usually humid. But everybody left. And so, man, naturally I'm just feeling kind of, oh, did I miss it? You know, or what was wrong? But even in my disappointment, I would still rather step out in faith and miss it than cower and miss out on what God could do. So I had to think that. But then the next day we found out what happened. That it wasn't the individual healing physically and that sort that needed to take place. It was actually a corporate healing for their hearts because they have been previously wounded by other Christians. Very interesting. I don't know when this happened or exactly what happened, but some other people came through that village. I'm not sure if it was forceful or what happened, but even some villagers said, oh, I used to be Christian. Some actually said they weren't Christian anymore because of some event that took place. So the word that God gave wasn't the way I thought, thank goodness, but it's what God wanted. And it was about a God who can heal. And it was spoken in love by a group that wanted to see that happen. So the pastor of the village who happened to be there, because this is rare, Thailand is 1% Christian, but this village is 30%, as mostly the rest is Buddhist. And the pastor now has the ability to help mend these pieces together and knowing, oh, not all Christians are like that. Christians can be good, even Christians from other places, even America. No, but it's all because of following the walk of the way of love in Christ. But this word was fostered out of relationship to hear what God wanted to do for the villagers. That's why prayer is so important, because God wants to do something into this world and he wants to invite us in it. And another point of prayer that was noticed was the intentionality and passion that prayer played a part at Zoe. But I want to let somebody else share about that And we're going to have Tom come up. And you guys can give him a hand here. He's going to share about his experience.
Thank you, Nathan. A couple of weeks ago on Sunday, you sent us to Thailand. You prayed over us. And I remember saying, you know, I'm perfectly suited for this team because I don't know anything about children's ministry. So, and you know what? That was true. The one thing I was supposed to do was this skit being a shepherd who talks about the good shepherd. And I was having a tough time. I was like struggling with it and trying to memorize things and put it all. I was, oh man, I'm in trouble. So a couple days before the event, we have a morning devotional and a time of prayer. And I just told the team, I'm struggling. I just can't, I mean, I'm not getting this thing together. So the team members, they interceded for me. Timo and Michael and the rest of the team. So that's the first thing. And I just wanted to read something about prayer from Oswald Chambers' book, My Utmost for His Highest. Chambers says, "Ask and you will receive," John 16:24. We complain before God, and sometimes we are apologetic or indifferent to Him. But we actually ask Him for a few things. Yet a child exhibits a magnificent boldness to ask. Our Lord said, "Unless you become as little children," Matthew 18:3. Ask and God will do. Give Jesus Christ the opportunity and the room to work. The problem is that no one will ever do this until he is at his wit's end. Amen to that. When a person is at his wit's end, it no longer seems to be a cowardly thing to pray. In fact, it is the only way he can get in touch with the truth and the reality of God Himself. Be yourself before God and present Him with your problems, the very things that have brought you to your wit's end. But as long as you think you are self-sufficient, you do not need to ask God for anything. To say that prayer changes things is not as close to the truth as saying, prayer changes me, and then I change things. God has established things so that prayer on the basis of redemption changes the way a person looks at things. Prayer is not a matter of changing things externally, but one of working miracles in a person's inner nature. So we fast forward to the outreach to the kids, and we're doing a skit. Jessica is the bad shepherd who doesn't care about the law, the one lost sheep. So I'm in the back, and everybody's helping me get dressed with the costume, and I was like, okay, let's do this. A little anxious, but as I walk towards the front, you know, just the peace of God just comes over me. I'm thinking, whoa, this is good. So, and just, I'm just filled with the Holy Spirit. So I go to the front, and I go in front of all the kids, and I start telling them about the good shepherd. You know, he cares about the one lost sheep. He leaves the 99 behind, and he goes after the one. And it was great. And after I do that, Lily, one of the Bible students, comes up, and she shares about the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And is that picture again? <It's> like, okay. Then after that, the Bible students all come in, and they break up into groups of like 10 kids. And so you see all this going on. But in the back, way in the back, there are missionaries interceding. There are Bible students interceding. There are team members interceding for the salvation of these kids. Many came to know Christ as their Savior and Lord. And, you know, just glory to God. Just glory to God. Thank you.
And it was amazing too when Tom went up. He was, all of the kids were just focused and listened. You could drop a pin. It was so quiet. Wow, God is really moving. Because we had, and I know some of you have heard, but there was 126 kids that accepted Christ. And this is like out of 142. It's not, I mean, the ratio is God-sized right there. So, amen to God. Like, God, glory. The last part we want to share about before we close, because our time is coming up, is that prayer is a weapon. We were being involved in a human trafficking organization. They're usually on the front lines. They have to deal with the darkness right in their face. And it's tough, but we even know that after the armor is listed, that it says in Ephesians 6 that we are to pray in the Spirit in all kinds of occasions and all requests, that we are always supposed to pray. And to share about that, we're going to have my lovely wife share about that experience.
Our time there was amazing, but as Nathan has the first Sunday to talk about prayer, I was able to realize how powerful prayer is. And there was one particular event that we went to. We were going to walk the red district, the red light district, where you would see the girls and the men. And you would feel the darkness all around. And at that moment, we had some of our team members who stayed behind, and they were interceding for us as we went. And our instructions were, pray over the streets, pray over the women, pray over those businesses, pray. And as we walked those streets, I was praying for the girls, that they would be saved, that the gospel would reach them somehow. Covering, I was praying for the angels to come and to protect them. And as I looked around and I seen these men with bad intentions, foreigners talking to the girls, God said, pray for them as well, as they also need me. And they are also hurt. And that's why they're involved in this. And in that moment, I received wisdom. And God said, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities of this evil, dark world where there's angels and demons all around us. But are we using that weapon that God has given us to pray, to come and say, Lord, here's my weapon? Or are we praying only for lunch, dinner, and before bed? Where is that weapon that we need? And as I walked through those streets, Michael, one of the youngest team members, he said he got a vision that every footstep that we would go forward, he would see light from all our team members. And it would be like a ripple, right? We'd continue to walk forward and light would be touching. And that showed us that it is powerful to pray. And even if we do walk among the darkness, we are light. And that's one thing that I want to really stress, is that now coming home, it's been like a culture shock. I'm like, oh, I'm driving, you know. But coming home, God says, use that weapon, even among our family members, among our friends. We don't fight against sister and brother, against our husbands, against our wives. We do fight against the evil. And he's here to attack us. And if we don't close ourselves with the armor of God, we will not be victorious. But God says, you are victorious in me. Clothe yourself. Use the weapons. And that's one thing that I just want to share with you, is just so powerful to be able to be there in the darkness and see that we are the light. So let's do that here. I encourage all of us to pick up the weapon and to pray.
Thank you. And as Valerie mentioned, we see how powerful prayer really is. And even looking at our country, looking at what's going on in communities and families and our own individual needs, that we should pray. We need to pray more. And how powerful prayer really is. And so as we close, let's all, if we can all stand, we're gonna pray together. And you know, and if you can you hold hands with the person next to you? Let's pray as a family. Let's come before our God. Lord God, here we are. We are here before you. And we just want more of you. We need you. We need you more and more each day. And like the psalmist says in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? When can I go and meet with you? Lord, I just pray that that desire that the psalmist wrote can be the desire of our hearts. That we will want more of you. That we will be hungry and thirsty for more of your presence. To spend time with you. To be intentional and passionate, like much like those Zoe students who spend time devoting to you, Lord. We need you. And if any of those misconceptions that we have that were coming to our mind during that time that was mentioned, Lord, we just ask that those remain gone out of our minds, that we won't let anything hold us back. We won't let busyness, we won't let excuses, we won't let ourselves get in the way of what you want to do through us so others can know of your goodness, others can know of who you are. Lord, use us. And you know each and every person, and we're all in different places, Lord. But we can all ask for more of you. So I just pray that for our hearts, Lord. Increase us. Let us see you move this week, this month, this year. All God's people say, amen.